and welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read. What did we read, Amy?
We read Refining Felicity by M.C. Beaton, which was recommended to us by the library.
Yay! Thanks, the library algorithm.
I think they must have republished these recently because they walk in and they've got these really adorable, tiny little, beautiful presented books. And yes. I was like, yoink.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. And they've also just all been recorded. They've all got the same artwork on all of the audiobook record releases as well. So the library's got all of the books electronically and physically, and then they've got most of them are also audio.
And they're really short, which
So short. They're great.
Like the audiobooks are about 2 hours.
Oh, not quite. Some of them are more like, I'd say 2 to 4.
Yeah. Mm. So that's super quick for an audiobook.
So quick for an audiobook.
So, do you want me to try?
Yeah, you can do the spoiler-free.
Okay, maybe I'll redeem myself from my previous failures at doing coherent spoiler-free recaps.
I believe in Kimberly, less is more.
When is this set?
I'm going to say it's set in the Regency era.
And what genre is it?
Romance.
Woo! Notice how I cued you as well.
You did really well. I'm so proud of you. So I need this level of support. We never talk about how much support I need when you do the spoiler-free recap.
This is the first book in a series that's called like the Comedy of Manners or something like that. But it follows two spinster sisters, Effie and Amy Tribble. They're in there. They've got grey hair. It's not clear what age they are, but they're described.
I'd say they're like 40s or late 40s, early 50s.
They could be 70. It's not. They're past, they're not in their first flush of youth.
No.
Effie keeps hoping that, you know, she'll receive a proposal of marriage.
Well, importantly, at the very start, they have been living their whole lives on
the expectation.
Yes, that when their aunt dies, yep, that she will leave them all of her money. And so they dutifully go and visit her and do all of those things and blah, blah, blah. And at the very start of the book, she carks it and leaves them nothing.
So they then are forced to think, okay, well, how could we?
They need to make money.
Like, we have nothing. We've sold everything we have. So, guy they used to know in the past
who went
to India, came back, what they describe as a nabob, which is a person who made all the money overseas, suggests a few things, and they end up deciding that they will advertise their services in the newspaper as chaperones, but they're going to specialize in. If you have a wild or difficult daughter, they will tame that daughter so that you can marry her off. So in comes their first client, Lady Felicity. And Lady Felicity is, you know, her mum is a sort of lovely, sweet, aristocratic woman, doesn't know what to do with her daughter because she didn't have a son, and her husband
Treated Felicity like a boy.
Yeah, raised Felicity like a boy. And Felicity's life has been spent trying to prove to her father that he should love her as her, like, as the son.
Yeah, well, like he should love her as much. Well, she kind of wants to be loved for her, but she thinks the only way to get her dad's love is to be the son he never had.
So because of that, she's rough speaking. She does all of her pursuits are very mannish. And the main thing is she massively resents having to deal with these two spinster ladies who are going to curate her debut into London society. So the other two main characters are the young man Lady Felicity gains the attention of, Lord Bremner and Lord Ravenswood.
And Ravenswood owns the estate that is next to hers. And so her family had always assumed that she would marry Lord Ravenswood. But they meet early on, and she kind of is abrasive in that way that is kind of, she expects everyone to disapprove of her because she's, you know, not the way a lady should be. But you know what? You're all wrong anyway, right? So she's kind of screw you. Yeah, she's kind of gets out ahead of it. And so when she meets Ravenswood, it doesn't go well in that sense. And so he takes a bit of a dislike to her, and she finds him attractive. And the fact that she knows he's taken a bit of a dislike to her makes her like hate him 10,000 times more. So it kind of, yeah.
But he likes the sisters. Effie and Amy Tribble.
Effie and Amy Tribble.
So he provides them help with their business ventures.
And escorting, like offering to escort them to different events and that kind of thing.
But who will Lady Felicity end up with? Will the Tribble sisters be successful in turning her into a refined young lady? That's the question of refining Felicity. Was that okay?
It was perfect. Couldn't
have been better. My nice melodramatic. Tune in next time for Dick Barton, Special Agent.
So my God, I could re-listen to Dick Barton. I haven't listened to that in forever. Sidebar, Kim and Amy's new podcast where they review
radio plays of the 1940s.
It has far fewer listeners. That's okay.
Kimberly, what did you think of Refining Felicity by MC Beaton, recommended to us by the library's excellent display?
Yeah, it's so true. Look, it kind of reminded me a lot, because of course it did, because it was A, by the same author, and B, it's a similar kind of concept of the travelling matchmaker.
Yes.
And which is how I got into these MC Beaton little books.
She wrote this in like the 80s, whereas the travelling matchmaker she wrote much more recently.
Yeah. So I liked the two old ladies, but it did take me a minute to get into it. So there wasn't a kind of instant sense of camaraderie. The ladies are in quite a precarious position. And that kind of gave the whole thing a little bit of a different tone. And, yeah, so it just took me a little bit of getting into, to be honest. But at the end of it, I really liked the ladies who run, so the Tribble sisters, I quite liked them. There's a bit of character development that needs to happen with them and a bit of growth. And obviously over, like, Felicity is done and sorted by the end of this book.
Over the next potentially 25 novels. I haven't looked at how many.
No, neither have I, but she usually does six. But over the next set of novels, obviously it'll be the Tribble sisters who grow.
And potentially get married. I'm expecting one of them to marry the Nabob, Benjamin.
But they haven't introduced a second, so they're kind of competing almost for his attention at this point. And they haven't introduced, so I haven't read the other ones, but they haven't introduced like a second person to distract the other sister. So I'm sort of like, how does this have a happy ending here? But I thought it was nice and I enjoyed it, and there was nothing against it or anyone specific that I was like, oh, you're totally horrid. But I didn't enjoy it as much as the Travelling Matchmaker. I will probably read, I think the next one in the series is something Minerva, and I will probably read the other ones or listen to them while I'm doing sewing.
They're good listening.
They're great sewing.
Because they're like one project.
Yeah. And so I will probably do all of them, but I'm not kind of like, I don't have a burning desire to move on to the next one. So I guess mine is, yes, I would recommend it because I really like MC Beaton, and they're so quick and easy. They're inoffensive. It's like, it's fine. But if someone was like, oh my gosh, Kim, I want to read MC Beaton, I've heard so much about it.
You would recommend, Emily Goes to Exeter.
I would recommend
Travelling Matchmaker.
Yeah, Travelling Matchmaker. And I'd be like, do the audiobooks, get them all from the library. Have a great time. See you later. That's what I would recommend, because I think those characters just drew me in and were much more likable, much quicker. I'm not saying that these people won't be. They're just not quite there for me yet. So, yeah, I would say it was fine. I guess it's a recommend if you've already read The Travelling Matchmaker. If not, I would go back to that first. And I will definitely never reread Refining Felicity. So in the terms of trash or treasure for this particular book, I guess it's trash. Yeah. What did you think?
I actually really ended up enjoying it. It was so short, which meant it wasn't drawn out.
No.
So that was really helpful.
And even if you're
helpful.
Like, oh, this is a bit, am I into this? Oh,
the
I'm
next
finished.
Page it was done. So all the intrigues didn't last long enough. They actually made you annoyed.
No,
they just
yeah.
were pretty quick. I thought the opening about how they became destitute was really sad.
That's kind of what I mean. Like, there was much more at stake. And MC Beaton, that for me didn't. There was a disconnect. That's why I was like,
I'm used to like it being sort of silly, like, oh, I don't
adventure.
Have as much money as I want, but oh dear. But this was like, they're boiling an onion. Their dinner is onion soup.
Yes.
And they found the onion in the fruit market bins.
Yeah.
So that was, I was like, oh, I didn't expect this emotional, like.
And they're both being like really stiff upper lip. It was awful.
Like when Mr. Haddon comes into it, he's like, oh, I know I can't mention that, like, there's basic furniture. There are no paintings. There's
I'm not
no
offered
cushions.
Anything,
I'm not offered any tea. anything like that. So the stakes are so massive of them succeeding in this venture. And to counterbalance that.
And then Felicity's a bit of a douche.
She is.
And so, which I understand that's the role of her. Otherwise,
but
there's
she
no book.
Wasn't, though, for the whole book. And that was important to me because I ended up about 60% through feeling really sorry for Felicity.
No, me too. And the other thing that saved her in terms of a character is she didn't know. She's naive and ignorant because she's a child, but she didn't know they're because of MacGuffins, they managed to hide their impoverished state.
Yes.
And so she doesn't know how desperate the sisters are. So her behavior became
hold
less.
That over them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I felt sorry for her because she doesn't fit into the parameters of what society was expecting, and basically they were bullying her into it.
And it was awful because that's how she was raised. I also
it was sort of
you
like,
were not prepared for the world you were expected to go into.
No, she wasn't. Her dad did her a disservice.
He did.
But that, the sort of I'm going to bully you into this, didn't last very long.
No.
And then I started to like her. So I was like, the benefits of things being short.
Yes. Like, yeah, they develop their kind of relationship
quick enough
that you're like, oh, okay, you're not just, you don't see her as just like a client and you're just going to yell at her till she does the right thing.
You do actually.
And she doesn't see you as a jailer. You actually can see each other as people.
Yeah.
And you're working together in a non-ideal situation. That's the beauty of the Tribble sisters. They didn't create Felicity. They didn't create the problem and the mess she's now in. Neither did she. So no one there is culpable. They just need to, they're going to help each other
to move forward.
Yeah, make the best out of this
and
situation.
And they do. It has some, you know, it's an MC Beaton Regency novel, so it has some little shenanigans in it that
so
make you smile.
Yeah.
I just didn't expect the sad.
Oh, there are moments when they get invited over to for like dinner or to a supper party or something because they're escorting Felicity and they're like, fill your handbag. It's like,
that's,
and they're talking
they...
to each other and they're like,
always
eat
make
as
sure you
much as you can and bring the biggest reticule,
yeah, reticule
that, you
can, that you can.
And I was like, oh, babes. Like, yeah, it was. And that's why I think I would probably enjoy it more. I think the sisters have such a journey to go on. And, yeah, it's just a really big
thing. I think I will read more in the series.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll read the next one. What I might do is I might read maybe the third one and the sixth one or something.
Right,
so
sure.
That I, because my, just to see whether what I expect is going to happen
is what
actually
happens.
Does play yeah. out. I think that would be quite interesting. So I don't think, like you, I don't think I'll reread Refining Felicity again. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was fine.
But I agree with yours. Like, I think the Travelling Matchmaker is stronger. The characterization of Miss Pym in that is she's just
it's
so
quick
cool.
And it's quick and it's like the
and she's on
she's
the road.
She's created
so
fast that you're like, yeah.
There's a lot more variety in the way the stories roll out because she's travelling and that's the main premise, whereas this, they're sort of trapped in London society and it has that sort
in
of...
In the season. It's just going to be season after season.
Underpinning of darkness because they've got nothing and they are so dependent on, in this, to some extent, the kindness of others to then allow them to set up for success, and I found that unexpectedly sad.
Yeah.
So...
Well, there you go. I feel like a consensus.
Hooray! Great.
Join us again next week. We'll bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read. And of course, as ever, until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.